make it rain. And I'm here to tell you, you can't make it rain. Sometimes there are circumstances and situations that you're going to deal with that you cannot change. Only God, only God, only God can take care of it. In the time of dryness, God was going to speak to Elijah, though. And he was going to give him direction. And that's where people get messed up. They start trying to do it their way. And they stop listening to the voice of God and the things of God. If you'll just be patient and wait on God. Hallelujah. Elijah was simply not going to get rain at this time. So the only thing Elijah could do was wait and listen, because it was in the time of dryness that God began to speak to his heart. How often have you and I been frustrated concerning things that we needed God to do? The need was so urgent to us that the answer was evident. It was right there in front of you. Well, if this and this and this would happen, it would just all be fine. We prayed and we fasted and we believe and we get together and we agree in prayer, and yet nothing happens. Dryness in our lives. And if we could, we would make it rain, but we can't, so we just sit and we wait. And we wait. We don't understand why it's happening. Instead of getting rain, this is what Elijah got. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Elijah discovered that God was going to sustain him through the drought in a way that he never dreamed imaginable. Obeying the command to go to the widow's home unlocked God's provision for the prophet. If you'll just wait on Jesus, if you'll just wait and do the things that is in the Word of God and apply the process and the principles and live in spirit and in truth that comes through the Word of God, He will show up on your behalf. His faith, his patience, Elijah's faith, patience, and endurance all grew as a result of hearing God's instruction. When the Lord is not moving the way you would like, when things in your life are not going the way you think they should, consider that this may be a time to sharpen your listening skills. Growing up, you hear people pray in the prayer room, and there was a man in our church that he would always be there, first one there, last one to leave, first one in the prayer room. You would hear him praying, and then all of a sudden there would just come a time where just he was silent. He was there, he wasn't being disruptive. And I went to him as a young boy. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I've talked enough at a certain point. Now I'm listening and I'm waiting on God." When we can't make it rain, all we can really do is listen for the voice of God and the direction of God. I would like to bring your attention this morning to a couple of reasons that God might not be sending the answer that you desire or I desire. The miracle might be approaching you, but maybe it's coming from a different direction than what you think it should, or than what you anticipated it to come from, or who you thought it would come from. God can open doors that you're not even aware of. Oh, yeah. And I want to walk through every door God opens, and the ones He shuts, I pray, God, shut the door before me. If you don't want me going through it, shut it. But I want your direction. If you open it, God, show me, light my path to get to that doorway. So He might be opening a door or bringing the miracle from a direction that you or I might not even be aware of know about. You know, we factor things in our mind. I know as a man, we take a problem and it's like, well, if this happens, this will happen. If this happens, you know, and we break it down. But with God, there's times that the answer's not even there. You know, it's not even there yet. You're factoring in as a human, but we don't even begin to think like God thinks or see things like He sees them. We've got to trust in Him. The children of Israel had prayed for years for a deliverer. They were looking for a conquering hero who would descend with a mighty army on Egypt and wipe them all out. And oh, we're victorious. We're not slaves anymore. However, God was sending a miracle in a little baby named Moses. He didn't have a conquering army. He didn't rise up with masses of warriors and wipe out the Egyptians. But he delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. And God rose up and smote them. God had a plan that defied human logic and human timetable, but it was His plan nonetheless. Could you just apply that to your life? God has a plan for you. God knows what you're going through. He knows why you've gone through it. He knows what you need. Deliverance will eventually come to you just like it did. And it's going to come in God's method, in God's time, in His perfect will. There is a place called Enterprise, Alabama. What a name. In Enterprise, Alabama, there is a statue in the town square that is dedicated to the boll weevil. Has anybody ever seen a boll weevil? It's a little insect, little bug. Anybody ever seen one? Enterprise, Alabama, they got a big statue. There's one on top of it, the boll weevil. It's an insect. It will wipe out crops. It likes to eat. And in Enterprise, Alabama, years ago, the boll weevil came and destroyed all of their cotton crops, wiped them out. Most of the population at that time, they were farmers at that time, and the crops were their source of income. And this little boll weevil came by the thousands and wiped out all of the cotton crops. So the farmers were forced to plant something else for that season to try to make some kind of money. And they planted peanuts. And the peanuts made them a fortune. In fact, they still plant peanuts now because it made them a whole lot more money than the cotton did. So they have put up a statue with a boll weevil on top because what seemed like a disaster to them was actually a blessing. And what may seem like a disaster to you is actually a blessing. It's actually a blessing. You've just got to hold on. The answer that comes to us may be very different than the one that you or I are expecting. But if we'll just trust God, we'll see that the outcome will be far greater than anything we could have expected. Proverbs 16 and 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. That gives me hope. He is God. He'll declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Hallelujah. That gives me hope. That gives me assurance. I'm here to tell somebody, no matter what you're dealing with or facing, He is God. There is none like Him. He can declare the end from the beginning, the first from the last, the middle to the inside, to the outside, from the bottom to the top. It doesn't matter. He is God and He is in control. We just need to understand that God knows more than we do. Yeah, He knows more than we do, and He knows what's best for us. Oh God, give us an attitude. Give us an attitude like Job had when he said in Job 23 and verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take." Hallelujah. "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Hallelujah. 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 Did you hear that? You can come forth as gold. Thank you, Jesus. God, I don't know why I'm going through these situations, but you do. And I'm going to trust you. God, I wouldn't order this plan for my life. You know, nobody understands it. But God, I know you do, and you have a reason. And I'm right here right now because that's where you want me to be. And I'm going to trust you. That's what our prayer has to be. God may plan to do more than you originally think or you even ask for. Yeah. God might be taking you to a whole new level where you've never even been before. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't shut God out. Don't turn your back on the house of God or the things of God. So many times you see people come in and something will go wrong in their life, and instead of running to God and embracing the Word of God and the things of God, they turn to the old nature, the old man, the old ways, and they fall deeper and deeper and deeper. Don't be that person. Wrap the Word of God and wrap God in your life. Let Him intertwine in every avenue. Get a love relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 5, verse 1. "And it came to pass." You know, God's planning to do more than you could think. Watch this. "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing.'" Nothing's worked, God. We've done all this already. What are you talking about? "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which are in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. That's a successful fishing trip. Hallelujah. Anybody done that good around here? Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that. "So when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished." He was astonished. "And all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken." God might be wanting to astonish you. "Well, Brother Chris, you know, we've been praying for months and we've been trusting God for, why hasn't?" Just let God astonish you. Let God do His work. Stop trying to change it on your own and let God just have it. Don't reel it back in and hold on to the problem. Let it go. Just trust Jesus. There may be areas of our lives that we definitely and desperately need an adjustment that God has determined to touch during this time. It was Jesus who turned Peter over to Satan to be sifted, to have the coarser portion separated from the finer portion. Maybe God's sending you through this trial because He's trying to get you right, get you in the right mindset and the right spirit, the right attitude, that you'll be pliable, teachable, workable. Peter would have chosen a different method, but Jesus knew exactly what he needed. And before he turned Peter over, he prayed for him that his faith would not fail. God may have turned some of us over to situations that will be doing a purging on us and a cleansing on us, and bringing about a renewing and a changing of us. Sometimes you have to be broken before you get to victory. It's not a fun process, but it's a vital portion of the process. How do you know, Brother Chris? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God often uses situations that are not changeable or out of our control to make us lean entirely upon Him. And when you can't make it rain, you just got to trust God. You've got to trust God. When you trust God, you know He has a plan for your life. And when you know God has a plan, you'll do a couple of things. First, you will see beyond what is seen. That's very important. And second, you will see the significance of obedience. Obedience. The rain did eventually come, but God determined to meet Elijah's needs well before the first drop ever fell. And you may not be able to make it rain today in the situation that you are personally facing in life, but you can joyfully find fulfillment in what God has prepared for your life. Just trust Him. Get in the Word of God and let Him reveal Himself to you. Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You for every student here of Your Word. I ask that You guide and keep us and bless us and direct us, O God. That whatever situation we might be going through, that You would lead us through it. Give us the patience. Let us be pliable and teachable. Don't let us give up, God. Help us to stand. When we've done all we can do to stand, we've got to stand in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back in about 13 minutes and have worship service. Greet our guests, and we are so glad that you were here.